Okay. Sabbath blessings, everyone. We're in early writings still, page 59. This title, this chapter is titled Mysterious Wrapping. I think Ellen's going to have to read because Lynn, her speakers or her microphone is way too low. We cannot hear her. So, but I'm just having a little difficulty. Kind of want to save my voice for tomorrow. So I got a little bit of a bug from the kids, a coughing little bug, and it keeps on keeping on. I'm just wondering how long it's going to be before I start coughing again. So there you go. All right. So for those of us on the radio, we're on page 59 of Early Writings, Mysterious Wrapping, it's titled. And Sister Ellen's going to read.
August 24th, 1850, I saw that the mysterious wrapping was the power of Satan. Some of it was directly from him, and some indirectly, through his agent, but it all proceeded from Satan. It was his work that he accomplished in different ways, yet many in the churches in the world were so enveloped in gross darkness that they thought and held forth that it was the power of God. Said the angel, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? Should the living go to the dead for knowledge? The dead know not anything. For the living God, do ye go to the dead? They have departed from the living God to converse with the dead who know not anything. See Isaiah 8, verses 19 and 20. I saw that soon it would be considered blasphemy to speak against the wrapping, and that it would spread more and more, that Satan's power would increase, and some of his devoted followers would have power to work miracles, and even to bring down fire from heaven in the sight of men. I was shown that by the wrapping and mesmerism, these modern magicians would yet account for all the miracles wrought by our Lord Jesus Christ, and that many would believe that all the mighty works of the Son of God when on earth were accomplished by the same power. When this view was given, spiritualism had but just arisen and was small. There were but few mediums. Since that time, it has spread all over the world and counts its adherents by many millions. As a general thing, spiritualists have denied the Bible and derided Christianity. Individuals have, at different times, deplored this and protested against it, but they were so few that no attention was paid to them. Now spiritualists are changing their method, and many call themselves Christian spiritualists, declaring that it will not answer to ignore religion, and affirming that they have the true Christian faith. Bearing in mind also that many prominent clergymen are in sympathy with spiritualism, we now see the way open for the complete fulfillment of this prediction given in 1850. Read also remarks by the other author on page 86. I was pointed back to the time of Moses and saw the signs and wonders which God wrought through him before Pharaoh, most of which were imitated by the magicians of Egypt, and that just before the final deliverance of the saints, God would work powerfully for his people, and these modern magicians would be permitted to imitate the work of God. That time will soon come, and we shall have to keep hold of the strong arm of Jehovah, for all these great signs and mighty wonders of the devils are designed to deceive God's people and overthrow them. Our minds must be stayed upon God, and we must not fear the fear of the wicked, that is, fear what they fear, and reverence what they reverence, but be bold and valiant for the truth. Could our eyes be opened, we should see forms of evil angels around us, trying to invent some new way to annoy and destroy us. And we should also see angels of God guarding us from their power. For God's watchful eye is ever over Israel for good, and he will protect and save his people, if they put their trust in him. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Said the angel, remember, thou art on the enchanted ground. I saw that we must watch and have on the whole armor and take the shield of faith, and then we shall be able to stand, and the fiery darts of the wicked cannot harm us.
You guys can hear me. Page 61, it's not up there. Can you guys hear me? Oh, okay. Oh, I think we're kind of fast. The messengers, all right. Is everybody there? Or should I start reading? I guess I'll just start reading. Okay. The Lord has often given me a view of the situation and once of the scattered jewels who have not yet come to the light of the present truth, and has shown that the messengers The Lord has often given me a view of the situation and once of the scattered jewels who have not yet come to the light of the present truth, and has shown the messengers should speed their way to them as fast as possible to give them light, to give them the light. Many all around us only need to have their prejudices removed and the evidences of our present position spread out before them from the Word, and they will joyfully receive the present truth. The messengers should watch for souls, as they must give account. Theirs must be a life of toil and anguish. Oh, wow, okay, just changed. Okay, sorry. Theirs must be a life of toil and anguish of spirit, while the weight of the precious but often wounded cause of Christ rests upon them. They will have to lay aside worldly interests and comforts and make it their first object to do all in their power to advance the cause of the present truth and save perishing souls. They will also have a rich reward in their crowns of rejoicing. Those who are rescued by them and finally saved will shine as stars forever and ever. Into all eternity, they will enjoy the satisfaction of having done what they could in presenting the truth and its purity and beauty, so that souls fell in love with it and were sanctified through it and availed themselves to the inestimable privilege of being made rich and being washed in the blood of the Lamb and redeemed unto God. I saw that the shepherds should consult those in whom they had reason to have confidence. Those who have been in all the messages and are firm in all the present truth before the advocate knew points of importance on which they may think the Bible sustained. Then the shepherds will perfectly unite. Will be perfectly united, and the union of the shepherds will be felt by the church. Such a course I saw would prevent unhappy divisions, and then there will be no danger of precious flock being divided and the sheep scattered without the shepherd. I also saw that God had messengers that He would use in His cause. From page 62, second paragraph. He would use in His cause, but they were not ready. They were too light and trifling to exert a good influence over the flock, and did not feel the weight of the cause and the worth of souls, and God's messengers must feel in order to effect good. Said the angel, "Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. Be clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. They can accomplish but little good, useless. They are wholly given up to God and feel the importance and solemnity of the last message of mercy that is now being given to the scattered flock. Some who are not called of God are very willing to go with the message. If it be But if they felt the weight of those who caused the responsibilities of such a station, they would feel to shrink back and say with the apostle, who is sufficient for these things? One reason they are so willing to go is that God had not laid upon them the weight of the cause. Not all who proclaim the first and the second angel's message are to give the third. Even after they fully embrace it, for some have been in so many errors and delusions, they can but just save their own souls. And if they undertake to guide others, they will be the means of overthrowing them. But I saw that some who had formerly run deep into fanaticism would be the first now to run before God sends them, before they are purified from their past errors, having error mixed with the truth. They will feed the flock of God with it. And if they were suffered to go on, the flock would become sickly, and destruction and death would follow. I saw that they would have to be sifted and sifted until they were free from all their errors, or they could not enter the kingdom. The messengers could not have the confidence in judgment and discernment of those who had been in errors, and fanaticism that they could have in those who had been in the truth and not in extravagant errors. Many also are to urge out into the field some who have been professed the present truth, who have much to learn and much to do before they can be right in the sight of God themselves, much less point out their ways to others.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear okay? Still no. Okay.
I saw the necessity of the messengers, especially watching and checking all fanaticism wherever they might see it arise. Satan is pressing in on every side, and unless we watch for him and have our eyes open to his devices and snares and have on the whole armor of God, the fiery darts of the wicked will hit us. And there are many precious truths contained in the Word of God, but it is present truth that the flock needs now. I have seen the danger of the messengers running off from the important points of present truth to dwell upon subjects that are not calculated to unite the flock and sanctify the soul. Satan will here take every possible advantage to injure the cause. But such subjects as the sanctuary in connection with the 2300 days, the commandments of God, and the faith of Jesus are perfectly calculated to explain the past Advent movement and show what our present position is, establish the faith of the doubting, and give certainty to the glorious future. These, I have frequently seen, were the principal subjects on which the messenger should dwell. If the chosen messengers of the Lord should wait for every obstacle to be moved out of their way, many never would go to search for the scattered sheep. Satan will present many objections in order to keep them from duty, but they will have to go out by faith, trusting in him who has called them to his work, and he will open the way before them, as far as it will be for their good and his glory. Jesus, the great teacher and pattern, had not where to lay his head. His life was one of toil, sorrow, and suffering. He then gave himself for us. Those who, in Christ's stead, beseech souls to be reconciled to God, and who hope to reign with Christ in glory, must expect to be partakers of his sufferings here. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Psalms 126, verses 5 and 6.
Now, that would sound a lot like like some of the false preachers out there, like the Shepherd's Rod, Seventh-day Adventist Church, and a lot of them that are doing that. They're not called to lead, they're not called to preach. And that's like 99% of the, well, actually 100% of all the Sunday keeping preachers. They go to seminary for the money. And so none of them are called to get up there. So this next one here is called the Mark of the Beast. It's about the Mark of the Beast. And let's see if I can get it in the room here. All right. Is anybody going to read it, or do you want me to try it? Okay, go ahead, Queen.
Mark of the Beast. An interview given June 27, 1850, my accompanying angel said, "Time is almost finished. Do you reflect the lovely image of Jesus as you should?" Then I was pointed to the earth and saw that there would have to be a getting ready almost among those who have of late embraced the third angel's message. Said the angels, "Get ready, get ready, get ready. Ye will have to die a greater death to the world than ye have ever yet died." I saw that there was a great work to do for them, but little time in which to do it. Then I saw that the seven last plagues were soon to be poured out upon those who have no shelter. Yet the world regarded them no more than they would so many drops of water that were about to fall. I was then made capable of enduring the awful sight of the seven last plagues, the wrath of God. I saw that his anger was dreadful and terrible, and if he should stretch forth his hand or lift it in anger, the inhabitants of the world would be as though they had never been, or would suffer from incurable sores and withering. So sad. Plagues that would come upon them, and they would find no deliverance, but be destroyed by them. Terror seized me, and I fell upon my face before the angel and begged of him to cause the sight to be removed, to hide it from me, for it was too dreadful. Then I realized, as never before, the importance of searching the Word of God carefully to know how to escape the plagues which the Word declares shall come on the ungodly who shall worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in their foreheads or in their hands. It was a great wonder for me that any could transgress the law of God and tread down his holy Sabbath when such awful threatenings and denunciations were against him. The Pope had changed the day of rest from the seventh day to the first. He had thought to change the very commandment that was given to cause man to remember his Creator. He had thought to change the greatest commandment in the Decalogue and thus make himself equal to God or exalt himself above God. The Lord is unchangeable. Therefore, his law is immutable. But the Pope has exalted himself above God in seeking to change his immutable precept of holiness, justice, and goodness. He has trampled underfoot God's sanctified day and, on his own authority, put it in place of the other six laboring days. The whole nation has followed after the beast, and every week they rob God of his holy time. Amen. The Pope has made a breach in the holy law of God, but I saw that the time had fully come for this breach to be made up by the people of God and the waste places built up. I pleaded before the angel of God to save his people who had gone astray, to save them from his mercy's sake. When the plagues begin to fall, those who continue to break the holy Sabbath will not open their mouths to please those excuses that they now make to get rid of keeping it. Their mouths will be closed while the plagues are falling, and the great lawgiver is requiring justice of those who have had his holy law in derision and have called it a curse to man. Miserable and rickety. When such feel the iron grasp of this law taking hold of them, these expressions will appear before them in living characters, and they will then realize the sin of having the law in derision, which the Word of God calls holy, just, and good.
Then I was pointed to the glory of heaven, to the treasure laid out for the faithful. Everything was lovely and glorious. The angels would sing a lovely song. Then they would cease singing and take their crowns from their heads and cast them glittering at the feet of the lovely Jesus, and with melodious voices cry, "Glory, hallelujah." I joined with them in their song of praise and honor to the Lamb. And every time I opened my mouth to praise Him, I felt an unuttering sense of the glory that surrounded me. It was a far more an exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Said the angel, "The little remnant who love God and keep His commandments and are faithful to the end will enjoy this glory and ever be in the presence of Jesus and sing with the holy angels." Then my eyes were taken from the glory, and I was pointed to the remnant on the earth. The angel said to them, "Will ye shun the seven last plagues? Will ye go to glory and enjoy all that God has prepared for those who love Him and are willing to suffer for His sake? If so, ye must die that ye may live. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Ye must have a greater preparation than ye now have, for the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate and to destroy the sinners thereof out of it. Sacrifice all to God, lay all upon His altar, self, property, and all a living sacrifice. It will take all to enter glory. Lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where no thief can approach or rust corrupt. Ye must be partakers of Christ's suffering here, if ye be partakers with Him of His glory hereafter. Heaven will be cheap enough if we obtain it through suffering. We must deny self all along the way, die to self daily, let Jesus alone appear, and keep His glory continually in view. I saw that those who of late have embraced the truth would have to know that it is to suffer for Christ's sake, that they would have trials to pass through that would be keen and cutting, in order that they may be purified and fitted through suffering to receive the seal of the living God, pass through the time of trouble, see the King in His beauty, and dwell in the presence of God and of pure holy angels. As I saw that we must be in order to inherit glory, and then saw how much Jesus had suffered to attain for us, so rich an inheritance, I prayed that we might be baptized into Christ's sufferings, that we might not shrink at trials, but bear them with patience and joy, knowing that Jesus had suffered, that we through His poverty and sufferings might be made rich. Said the angel, "Deny self, you must step fast. Some of us have had time to get the truth and to advance step by step, and every step we have taken has given us strength to take the next. But now time is almost finished, and that what we have been years learning, they will have to learn in a few months. They will also have much to unlearn and much to learn again. Those who would not receive the mark of the beast and his image when the decree goes forth must have decision now to say, 'Nay, we will not regard the institution of the beast.'"
Amen, and they got to have it now. Because it's not going to be easy to be able to deal with this in a few months, and I have to unlearn a lot of stuff. That's why we keep on, preaching over and over again and try to tell the people that you've got to be ready now, because if you only got a few months to do it, it's going to be next to impossible. And odds are you're going to have to die for your faith, too. You won't be part of the Gideon band. So, not an easy time for any of us, I'm sure. But thank you so much for those of you that stepped up and helped out. Okay, who wants to preach for me tomorrow? Okay, if I can't, wouldn't that be neat? But, hold on, let me turn off this one alarm for Friday night. Okay, that thing that just beeped. It's telling me to make sure that the T1 is running on this server, on this particular system, at night. Okay, and let's see, hide it. It's already 11 o'clock. So we may as well call it a night. Some of the people are already leaving. And I want to get as much sleep in as I can. that I can be fresh for tomorrow. I'd love to be able to be completely healed by tomorrow for so I can preach, and then I can go see my dad on Sunday, but I don't want to bring any bugs over to him. Keep us in prayer, too. It seems my son Luke saw somebody lurking around our fence here that splits the land in half right by our gas bottle, which is only a few feet from my office window here. Some guy in a black hood walking around out here tonight. So thank you for... We've seen this character before. I don't know if it's a man or if it's that demon we saw years ago that was like the weirdest thing. I saw him once. My daughter Jillian saw him once when we were in Cisna Park. I happened to be up in the kids' room, and I looked out the window, and I had to look right into the eyes of the guy that was standing out there on the end of our land, which was five acres, but it was like stretched out in such a way that the street was about, I'd say, 2 acres away from the house. So it was a long distance, and I don't know how I was able to tell, but I was looking in his eyes, and he was looking in mine. And some guy in a black hood. It was the summertime, and kind of like a monk robe, you know? And I turned to go downstairs and go see who it was, and when I got outside, it was gone. And the thing is, there's no other houses out there, and it was miles away, so we know the demons like to try to scare people. And so it didn't work. And it didn't work in the night either, so. And that's the thing. He couldn't get on our land, the Hedge of Angels, you know? Now, this could just be some farmer that was out here because they're over there. We have some land that is next to ours that has grain bins and stuff, and these farmers work on that land. It touches our land. And I guess they're working on a tractor tonight, and maybe one of the guys stopped over here to go to the bathroom or something. I don't know. So, thank you for keeping it in your prayers.